I'm no Isaiah. I'm no prophet. But I know the world we're living in. And the joy, the ecstatic joy, if it is God's will that we die as martyrs, won't that be great? I've told this how many times. When I was with your sisters in Moscow, 11 o'clock at night, three carloads of gangsters came to where the sisters were staying. I was on the top floor. And the bottom floor was not stone. It was glass. These gangsters threw big rocks through these glass panels on the bottom floor of the building where the sisters were by that time resting. The gangsters came into the building and they shouted, "We are the women." They came to rape the missionaries of charity. The last person they expected. Oh no. I always, whenever I can, at home I at least wear a clerical garb. But here I wear my cassock. I came down in my cassock. My first prayer was in Russian. I knew what they were saying. And I told our Lord, "Dear Jesus, did I have to come all the way to Moscow to be martyred?" And the bums, they were armed. Not one of them shot me. Was I ever disappointed? Sisters, as I've said, the present Holy Father, and I mean this, no pope in history, and I know papal history, has ever spoken more clearly and more frequently about the need for martyrs in today's world. That's part one of our meditation. Part two, our Lord's ascension into heaven. Only Saints Mark and Luke describe our Lord's actual ascent into heaven. Mark says, "And so the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them," that's the disciples, "was taken up into heaven. There, at the right hand of God, he took his place." And St. Luke, after Jesus spoke to his disciples, he was lifted up before their eyes, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Did Jesus have to go through the millions of miles from Judea flying at top speed to heaven? No. I think I gave you, didn't I? Did I give you my favorite definition of heaven? Remember? Heaven is where the experience of God's presence is enjoyed. Our Lord then went to heaven, for the angels, of course, were seeing the face of God. Jesus went to heaven, as he said, to prepare a place for us. Now let's be clear. There are two kinds of what they call themselves biblical scholars in the world today. You know, biblical scholar, he knows Greek, he knows Hebrew, he knows Assyrian. Well, he is a scholar. Well, there are two kinds of biblical scholars. And now we have two names, one for each. There are exegetes. E-X-E-G-E-T-E-X. Exegetes. Exegetes are those biblical scholars who draw out of X, out of the Bible, what the Holy Spirit has inspired. They are the good biblical scholars. But there are other biblical scholars, and we call them now, and a big dictionary has this word. They are called eisegetes. Spell it. E-I-S-E-G-T. Yes. I-E-I-S. E-G-E-T-E-S. Eisegetes. E-I-S. From the Greek preposition, it means into. These are the biblical scholars that read into the Bible what's not there. Where do they get it? In their own little heads. I have taught sacred scripture for 11 years. Sisters, shall I say it? Beware. There are those, and they are very smart, biblical scholars, who, I repeat, read into the Bible what's not there. What is in the Bible? The God in Christ's ascension. It really took place. Jesus really told his disciples that I will be leaving you. And he left them. But watch it. And don't you dare forget, Jesus never left the earth. All right? That's why Jesus instituted the Holy Eucharist. He left the earth visibly. The same Jesus who Mary conceived and carried for 9 months in her womb is the Jesus Christ now on earth in the Holy Eucharist. In other words, our Lord's ascension is a historical event. It took place. Jesus really rose from the ground. He really, well, rose, of course. They were looking up. And then they blink. A cloud. Where is he? A cloud hid Jesus in his body from their eyes.